Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our two-part study titled, What Bible Verse Teaches a Pre-Trib Rapture? This is part two of two. Because I don't read anywhere in Paul's epistles where he warns those churches to get ready for the Antichrist, to get ready for the judgments of God, to get ready for seals, vials, and bowls, and trumpets. He doesn't tell them to be prepared to endure to the end and don't take the mark. He never mentions the mark. He never tells Christians, don't take that mark, no matter what you do. If we, at any time in church history, had to worry about going through that period of time, Paul would have mentioned it. And he didn't, because the church doesn't go through that period. Nobody becomes or remains a Christian and part of the church by not worshiping Antichrist and not taking the mark. You say, you don't really need to say that. Yes, I do. There's people out there who teach that. There are actually people who are claiming that they're already instituting the mark of the beast and we're in the tribulation period because they're nuts. Amen. The gathering after the tribulation is of those who, as Jenny mentioned, enduring to the end and not worshiping the Antichrist or taking his mark. This verse, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's about those left behind and during the tribulation period. You are saved. You're not going to be saved if you endure to the end. You are saved. Amen. Should you endure to the end? Yes, but it's not you doing the enduring. Amen. And you don't do it to be saved. You do it because you are saved. This is not the plan of salvation in this dispensation, enduring to the end, but unless you're a Calvinist. It's the P in Calvinism. People have been taught falsely. They'll say, well, the P is the same as eternal security. No, it isn't. Amen. The P in TULIP is perseverance of the saints, enduring to the end, perseverance of the saints. And you can't really know for sure you're saved unless you persevere to the end. Right. And I've mentioned this before. You can look it up. They've done studies with Calvinist preachers over in England. And something like 60% of them, after spending 40, 50 years in ministry and preaching the Calvinist doctrines, have no assurance of salvation in the elderly years of their ministry. They still have no assurance of salvation. It's a terrible doctrine. Jesus made clear that he was talking about the end times only, not the church age at all. When you read Matthew 24, Mark 13, those parallel passages, Jesus never talks about churches, never mentions being born again in those contexts. Never. And it's so obvious as to be ridiculous, and yet it's got to be said in this age. After the tribulation is a key phrase that people like to use, because there is a second coming after the tribulation. But it's not Jesus coming to take His church out. It's Jesus bringing His church with Him to destroy.
Amen.
Big difference. Who's in Matthew 24? It talks to them which be in Judea. Chapter 24, verse 16. It's to those observing a Sabbath day. Chapter 24, verse 20. It's to the elect who we've studied in our study of Mark 13 is Israel. Chapter 24, verse 31. And there's a reference right in there to a prophecy regarding Israel, the fig tree. Matthew 24, 32. It's not about Christians in the dispensation of the church or the church age before the rapture. Plain and simple. There is no Church of Jesus Christ in any tribulation passage.
Amen.
I challenge anybody, and I've challenged them over and over, show me a tribulation passage where it makes reference to the church, makes reference to Christians. It doesn't exist. Not in the King James Bible.
Amen.
Who knows what they've done to some of those other ones. Therefore, see, taking the whole counsel of God, as we haven't hit every single passage, but we've seen a good bit of it. the rapture must be pre-tribulation. Take the words of Jesus here in John 14. And just consider them. John 14, verses 1 to 3. And let's read these verses and tell me if Jesus made any indication that His promise given here only happens after a time of tribulation like we've never experienced in human history. Let's read it. Beginning of verse 1, read it with me. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's just one of many texts that discuss this coming for His people. And He doesn't even hint that before this happens, we're going to be slaughtered. And that we're going to have to suffer under the wrath of God, which is poured out during the tribulation period. There's no hint of it. What? Now, that's not to say, obviously, people always throw this back, it's not to say that Christians don't suffer. It's not to say that we don't suffer tribulation. I'm fully aware, and my wife can attest to the fact of my studies of church history. I'm fully aware of what's in Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm fully aware of what has happened during the early church persecutions under the emperors. I'm fully aware of what people like Augustine and the earliest years of the Roman Catholic Church did to the nonconformists like us, people like the Donatists and other groups, Novatians, and others like that, that they persecuted and killed. I'm fully aware of what happened during the Crusades. They didn't just kill Muslims. They killed Christians and Jews. They killed anybody who wasn't... They even killed Catholics. There were people who would take their Catholic girls and send them off to the Waldenses up in the mountains because they didn't want them raped by the crusading Roman Catholics. I'm fully aware of all that. But what I'm telling you is none of that has to do with the tribulation period, as we call it. The tribulation period is a time where God's wrath is poured out, and specifically the Antichrist is laying the church to waste, if it's the church there. And Jesus says that the devil, Satan, would never prevail against the church. Jesus said it's going to be so bad during this time that if it weren't for the fact that God cuts it short, none of the elect would survive. Yeah. And Jesus doesn't even hint that we're going to have to worry about an Antichrist, a mark of the beast, and the wrath of God before He comes to take us to the mansions that He's prepared for us. And where did He mention anything about after the tribulation in that text? Not in there. Nowhere. So in closing, I want to run a few references that demonstrate the fact of the pre-trib rapture over and above what we've already studied. Just want to run a few more references and then we'll be done here. But God consistently removes the righteous before allowing evil to come. And again, we're only going to run a few of these. But if we've been teaching through Genesis, What did God do before He destroyed the earth with a flood? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He and seven others in his family were put on the ark first. He did not pour out His wrath on Noah or his family. What happened with Lot? Before God destroyed Sodom, He went and snatched Lot out. Something I emphasized in our Genesis studies was the angels grabbed them by the hand and pulled them. And that's what's going to happen to us. You're going to go up, and it ain't because you've got something strapped to your back. What are these things called? Yeah, jetpacks. But Isaiah 51:7-1 says this: "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." That's my life verse. The righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Isaiah 57:1. In another text, we see God's wrath is poured out throughout the 7-year tribulation. There's this false teaching. One of the things it teaches is that the wrath of God only comes about at the very end of the tribulation period. That's nonsense.
Amen.
And you're going to see that we've seen, actually, in our studies, Revelation 6 through 19, that the Antichrist comes and brings peace. But his peace is a pseudo-peace. And what does the Bible say? They'll say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. And that destruction begins at that very beginning. It starts. But it then reaches a climax at the end. 7 years in, when Jesus then returns, and we were going to study next week, by the word of his mouth, Jesus will destroy what's left of the Antichrist system. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. Read that with me. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Now, that first phrase there, "God hath not appointed us to wrath." That's different from us suffering in this life. It's different from persecution. It's wrath. And God's not appointed you to wrath. If you think you're doing something and God may be dealing with you, that's chastisement. That's not his wrath. And trust me, be thankful. You ought to pray and thank him for his chastisement and the fact you're not getting his wrath. Huh? Yes. Whomsoever you love, he rebukes and chastises. I think this might be the last one I reference here. The church that has kept the word of God will be kept from what is about to be poured out on the earth. Revelation 3:10 says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." And if you got your Bible open, which verse is it? I believe right before that, it tells us this is the Philadelphian church, and it says they have kept his word. If you look there, I think it's maybe verse 7. But look at that. Verse 7, read that.
"And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth."
Now keep going there.
"I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name."
Has kept my word, and hast not denied my name. See, that's you. See, this I believe this, and some preachers don't, I don't care. I believe that the 7 churches in Revelation are a map of church history, and the final churches existing at the time of the rapture is the Philadelphian church, which is made up of a remnant of true believers who have kept his word and his name. The Laodicean church is the one who is junking his word, not only adopting new versions, because I'm not saying everybody who uses a new version's lost, but by and large, what you're seeing in the false church today is a mark of that, is adopting the new versions, and then saying things like the United Church of Christ, who puts out this thing, says the Bible's like GPS. We'll paraphrase, but they say it's good, it's a good source, but it's not always right. And that's the way most Christians today, professing Christians, view that book.
Yeah,
and they are Laodicean.
Amen.
Because the Bible says you can't be saved. It doesn't matter. They're carrying a new version isn't the issue. The issue is they only believe that new version.
Right. Amen.
And if you don't believe the Word of God, you can't be saved.
Amen. That's true.
1 Thessalonians 2:13 lays it out. It says, you receive the Word of God not as the Word of man, but as it is the Word of God, which effectually works in them that believe. It doesn't work if you don't believe it. That's why you're witnessing to people. I just tell people, oh no, it's not you.
Yep.
So don't get discouraged when you go and preach the gospel to people and they keep saying, no, you're not the problem.
Right.
The problem is the, all these people around it in this culture have been talked out of their faith in that book.
Right.
So when you're preaching the gospel, they don't even believe what you're telling them is the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's why we're not seeing people saved today.
Amen.
And you can just go through church history and you'll see that's the case. When people put more trust in the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church than they do the Word of God, they will not be saved.
Amen.
But when you find a Catholic who says they believe that book,
right,
you just stick with it.
Yeah.
You keep preaching it and you keep encouraging them to stay in that book and reading it, and then you get these Roman Catholics who get saved.
Amen.
But if they put more faith in the Pope and the Church than they do that book, you're knocking your head against the wall.
Right.
But we, as Philadelphians, this isn't a bragging point. This is just a fact. There's a true church and a false church. And the true church has kept His Word and kept the Word of His patience. He's going to keep us from the hour of temptation. Which shall... Now, this is why we know He's talking about the tribulation period. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. There's never been a time when there's been this worldwide hour of temptation. It's yet to come. And you who keep the Word, keep the Word, keep the Word. And you'll stay out of that. How do you keep the Word? By obeying the gospel. You believe the gospel, you've repented toward God, been born again by faith in the gospel, and then you keep the Word in the sense of loving it, reading it, obeying it, and preaching it because you're saved. And we could go on and on for hours. If you want me to, I could. Everybody, you already good with that? I'll just keep on. But it did get a little quiet there. There's a couple of you. Yeah, Jill, you stick around. Everybody has to leave. Me and Jill just... But if you won't accept what we've already presented, then there is not much of a possibility you'll ever accept this truth. I face the fact that it's not some, I can't just present it in such a great way, you know, just be personable enough and funny enough. If people won't accept it, oh yeah, I'll just do the, and try all that. They teach that in seminary. They tell you to stop. They tell you when you're going to turn the page, to put your hand in the air like this, and people will be deflected, and you can turn the page of your notes.
Yeah.
Homiletics. They also teach you all these big words. Folks, you can present this to people and then let it go. It's not our task in life to turn everybody into a Bible believer. We preach the gospel, and then we let the Holy Spirit do the work. And that's why I stopped here. The Bible teaches a preacher of rapture.
Amen.
Not one verse, but the whole counsel of God in context about this dispensation. And we know it ends with the rapture. And next time, we'll pick up on the book of Revelation. But if you would, I'd like to go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we can have some questions and answers. And then if anybody has to leave, we won't be offended if you do. Father, we just thank You for this assuring study and the excitement of knowing You could come at any moment.
Amen.
As we see the world going to hell in a handbasket, and we look at the presidential race, and when we see the choices we have, we just throw our hands up in the air and say, please come quickly.
Amen.
And we see just how wicked the world is becoming, where you can't go to the restroom now without sodomites coming in and women dressed like men going into the men's and men dressed like women going into the women's. And all the things that you're fully aware of. And you're holy, so it has to make you much more sick than it does us. And Lord, as we see all these things going on, we do feel pity and merciful. I guess you could say we sympathize and just I don't know even the right word for those people who are not heeding the gospel call and could be left behind. It just breaks our heart to see so many people who just keep rejecting you and rejecting you. But at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong for us to long for your presence, to stand in your glory. In the meantime, Lord, help us to be faithful to preach that gospel message clearly as often as we can, to give out those gospel tracts and do what we can. But we do pray you do come quickly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Greg, you were saying that women are going to the men's restroom and men going to the women. That's a better way they call it insider trading.
Insider trading. Yeah, Stephen?
Oh, so I heard somewhere that there was like 7 rafters in the Bible.
Yeah, I did a message on that.
Ask me your question.
7 raptures, meaning that 7 times in the Bible where you have a rapture taking place, and off the top of my head, I'll name a few of them anyway. Elijah, you know, he was taken up. Of course, Jesus was taken up. Or Enoch is the first one. I missed Enoch. Enoch was taken up. So Enoch, Elijah, Jesus, and then there's the... I'm missing one in that. Yeah, well, John was a spiritual thing, but Paul was taken up, but then he came back, but he said he was taken up into the third heaven. It's the same word used there. Yeah. And then you have the pre-trib rapture of the Christians, and then you have... Yeah, Stephen was killed. Yeah, but anyway, I lost track there, but there's... Yeah, there's... Would we not mention there's one at the post-trib as well. It's, but they're taken into the air and then brought back down to Israel. And we studied that in our Mark 13. I don't know how many. Is that 7? No. It's not a mid-trib. A bunch of people are killed during the tribulation and they appear in heaven. But we mentioned Elijah. Moses was killed. That's the one I'm missing, Johnny. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. It's the 2 witnesses. That's 2 people being raptured, but...
solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.